The title of our discussion this morning is Test the Spirits. And we find this in the fourth chapter of 1 John, the first six verses. If this passage had been utilized and followed through the centuries, I suggest we wouldn't have the religious division in the world that we have today. John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So far in this epistle, John has discussed what our relationship should be or not be in regard to, first of all, God. In the very first chapter, verse 5 and 6, he says, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Then our relationship, what it should be to Jesus, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Then our attitude or our relationship to things of the world. In 1 John 2 and verse 15, he cautions us, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Then our relationship or attitude toward sin. 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. "Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin." Then our relationship to our brethren, 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, "For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." We discussed that at some length last Sunday morning. Now in chapter 4, John warns us of a very real danger: false prophets or false teachers. With a term of endearment, he begins, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." So John encourages us to test the spirits. And I want to suggest that the spirits are identified as false teachers. It says, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." The spirits that we're not to believe are the false prophets or false teachers. And what John is saying is something that we all need to be very much aware of, and that is, don't believe everything you hear. I had a man that worked with me for 10 plus years, and he married during that time and married a lady, a Jewish lady that was up in years, never had married before, but she took care of her parents until they passed away. Anyway, they got married, and I don't remember what the subject was, but she read something in the newspaper and said it just had to be true. They wouldn't print it if it wasn't. Well, that kind of attitude is what leads people astray. So don't believe everything you hear or everyone who claims to be from God, because if we do, we'll be easily led astray. And so I apply that to myself. Many times through my preaching years, I have cautioned the audience not to believe anything I say just because I say it. Test and see if it's what God's Word says. I don't want to be guilty of leading anyone astray. And I know that Dean feels the same way. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, is to test the spirits whether they are from God. So don't believe every spirit. Don't believe every teacher that comes along, but rather test to see if what they're saying correlates with the teaching, clear teaching of the Word. This word test, Mr. Thayer describes it as to examine, to prove, or to scrutinize. And again, I say, if people had done this through the centuries, we wouldn't have so much religious division in the world today. Many times, false teachers come dressed in the finest of clothes. Their hair is just right. They have a charisma about them that makes you want to believe them. The whole time, Jesus says they're like wolves in sheep's clothing. And we'll look at that verse in a little bit. So the idea of testing is to see whether a thing is genuine or not. So one should not accept anything that some preacher or teacher says, but rather examine the teaching by God's Word. The Scriptures highly praise those who do this. The Bereans of Acts chapter 17, verse 11, Paul had just left Thessalonica and he'd come down to Berea and he began teaching them. And verse 11 says, now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Now understand, the only Scriptures they had at that point in time was the Old Testament scrolls. And Paul was teaching them about the coming of the Messiah and claiming that Jesus was that Messiah. They accepted what he said with great eagerness, verse 11 says, But then they examined the scriptures that they had to see whether these things were so or not. That didn't upset Paul in the least. And I think Luke recorded this for the admonition of the people that would follow that period of time up to the present hour. Then there was the Ephesians. Jesus writing and testifying through John to the seven churches of Asia, to the church of Ephesus, he says, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. Jesus praised the Ephesians for testing those who came to them. And the idea is because many false prophets have gone out into the world. They didn't wait until the 21st century. This was happening already in the first century A.D. Many false prophets had gone out into the world. Others also have warned us about this. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15 says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravishing wolves. We understand the metaphor. A wolf is not going to be very kind to sheep. They will grab one and run off with it and devour it. And Jesus makes that application to false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. They come to you dressed really nice. Their behavior is without doubt a charismatic behavior, one that makes you want to accept them. But inwardly, they're trying to lead you astray. I don't know how much this congregation had to deal with change agents a few years ago, and we had some real problems with them in Klamath Falls. It stands to reason that if someone is teaching something other than what the scriptures teach and what the apostles taught, we better be careful about following them. And then Peter also warns us, as does Paul. In 2 Peter chapter 2, the first three verses, he says, but false prophets also arose among the people. He's referring to the Jews throughout the years behind them. Many false prophets arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who taught them or brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality. Because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Just this one passage would strive to keep an honest person with the scriptures and not become a false teacher. Sometimes we need to be so very careful when something sounds really good Is it really good? Sometimes it sounds too good to be true, and usually it's not true. And that applies to many areas of our existence. Then there was Paul. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." Satan doesn't go around with a long forked tail and a pitchfork in his hand and a red suit as he is pictured. He doesn't do that. He disguises himself as an angel of light. "Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." So again, it behooves us to examine and prove and scrutinize those who would teach us. So when we put it to the test, do they confess that Jesus has come in the flesh? 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now is already in the world." Two particular things in this passage. This passage is best understood in the light of the Gnostic teachings of John's day, as some denied that Jesus actually came in the flesh. How in the world they could come up with that idea is beyond me. But they had the idea that he was an image that they saw, but he wasn't really in the flesh. And they led many astray with that teaching because they claimed to be in the know. That is what the word gnosko means, is to know. They were called the Gnostics. They were in the know. They claimed to be guided by the Spirit. It stands to reason, at least to me, that the Holy Spirit did not promote conflicting doctrines. Not everyone who claims to be guided by the Spirit is truly guided by the Spirit. And that's what John's warning us about. In his day, because those who are led or would teach falsehoods are not led by the Spirit of God. But this is the spirit, he says, of the Antichrist. In the last few years, we've heard a lot about the coming of the Antichrist, the looking for it. It's already happened. We already have Antichrist. John has identified false teachers as the Antichrist. Anti means against. So Antichrist is against Christ. And he said there are many Antichrists in the world already. In 2 John verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. So again, John tells us that the Antichrist is already in the world in his day. And we certainly have more than we need in this century. We don't need any Antichrist, but we have many. Another test, do they listen to the apostles? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, speaking of the apostles, at least that's my understanding, when he uses the personal pronoun we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So one of the methods of testing the spirit or the false teachers or any teacher or preacher is, do they listen to what the apostles have said? Many religious groups do a lot of physical good as far as the physical life is concerned. But when it comes to things spiritual, they pay little to no attention to what the apostles have written. They ignored the plain teachings of God's word to bring about their own ideas. And so it's important that we ask the question of anyone who would claim to teach us, do you agree with what the apostles taught? And so, to receive the apostles, that is to receive them, is to receive God and Jesus. In the Gospel by John, in chapter 13 and verse 20, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. So receiving the apostles equated to receiving God in Jesus. In Acts the second chapter, verse 42, shortly after the 3,000 had been baptized, confessing their sin and crying out in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter told them to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Can you imagine the wonder of the day of 3,000 being baptized into Christ? What a tremendous scene that must have been. Then verse 42 says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. What a tremendous occasion this must have been for one to witness that. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. When the apostles wrote something, it wasn't simply a personal letter with their own personal ideas, But here Paul affirms that the things that I write to you are the Lord's commandments. He writes with the authority of Jesus. He's being guided by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus promised them that when he left, God would send a helper, the Holy Spirit, who would remind them of all that he had taught them and to guide them into all truth. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 through 18, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of things, of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Those are the last words written by the Apostle Peter that we have any record of. Therefore, those who are of God will heed and agree with the apostles' teaching. There may be things hard to understand, and yes, there are. There are some things hard to understand, but we can understand it with some study. So this is a test that we can apply today on virtually every issue. It demands that we understand and have knowledge of the apostles' teaching. That will not be a problem if we follow the example of the church in Jerusalem of the first century, which in verse 42 of the second chapter of Acts says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. King James says the apostles' doctrine. But there's two more tests. The first one is of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, verses 18 through 22. God speaking here to Moses says, I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. You may say in your heart, how will we know the word of the Lord has not, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come to be true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Now again, a test to be made. In Deuteronomy the 13th chapter, the first four verses, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true, concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. Moses was a great leader of people, and this is a warning that he issued to them before his own demise, and several other warnings he also gave them about turning away from the Lord. They didn't listen. They began listening to false prophets. In fact, when they left Egypt, many of them took their idol gods with them. It's never made any sense to me how someone could carve something out of a piece of wood or chip it out of a piece of stone and then bow down and worship that as God. That's beyond any reason whatsoever. So this test is to be used when wonders are performed and prophecies seem to be fulfilled. If the doctrine contradicts what God has already revealed, they are to be rejected. In all of this, John is warning the people of his day, and I believe us as well, that we should take some comfort. Take comfort in the scriptures. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. So again, there's that warning. We have the Spirit of Christ as we abide in the Scriptures. So he is saying that they and we can and should overcome false prophets or false teachers. The one in them is greater than he who is in the world. And of course, that he's speaking of the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, as they were, some of them were guided miraculously by the Holy Spirit in the first century, along with the apostles. So again he says, in the fourth chapter, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. So don't be surprised that the world follows after false prophets. They are of the world and speak in a way to appeal to the world. Don't be surprised at the apparent success of false teachers, because size and numbers is not a proper way to determine truth. And that's something I can't emphasize strongly enough. God's people have always been in the minority as far as numbers are concerned. That doesn't make them wrong. It just makes them truly following, striving to follow the teachings of God's Word. So again, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. That's all I have for this morning. Is there anyone with a question, a comment, observation, either in the audience or at home on Zoom? Yes, Carol.
It seems to me, as we study the Reformation with Dean, that one of the things when people look back at the early church, they want to deny the miracles and the wonders. Jefferson went so far as to cut out all of those things to deny that. But if we apply the test that you gave today, and that is that they tested the spirit, they tested the truth, they tested what people said, and they verified what was going on. So
absolutely.
It's not just stories. It's not just that the Holy Spirit. It's not just stories. They verified that things were going on.
Right. They verified by checking it with the scriptures, just like the Bereans did. And the Bereans were called more noble because they examined the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Good point. Anyone else?
Yeah, Ralph.
Yes, Richard.
As we study today, and we understand the truth, when we run across, let's say that we're visiting someplace and without looking at the name up on the building, and it say it's a church building, and you go in there. And with our studies, like I said, we know the truth. And we went into a church and sat down to listen to what they have to say. But we noticed that some of their practices are not correct. Let's say maybe they have instrumental music, or, you know, something that they're doing is not correct. When would you just, if you notice something like that, would you get up and just walk out? Or would you stay through the entire lesson and stuff and then maybe get up? What would you do?
Well, I don't know what I might do today. I can tell you what I did when I was 21 years old.
Okay.
I drove from St. Petersburg, Florida, on my way to Northern California. And on a Sunday morning, I went 50 miles out of my way following signs that said Church of Christ. And when I got there, they were playing a piano. I didn't stay. I think I'm a little more mature now than I was then, but I'm not sure exactly what I might do.
Sometimes it's good to...
Go ahead.
Well, I was just wondering, I did what...
Go ahead, Richard.
I did what you did, going into a Church of Christ and looking around. We sat down and stuff, and then all of a sudden I noticed there was a bunch of instruments, and I turned around and we walked out. So that's only been a couple of years ago. But when you kind of another question is, if you know of somebody, like I know of an elder of a congregation, and I know of just some different things that they preach and teach and stuff, and so I really would not go to worship it at that, because they just don't speak the truth. But to me, I have a hard time, because this individual, I know him, you know, and I don't say we really associate all that much, you know, we're just friends. But how far would you go in a sense in listening to a person like that who thinks they know everything? And when you bring up what the truth is, they kind of don't want to hear it, but they have an answer for it, but it's still not right. So what do you do in that case?
Well, that would depend, I think, on circumstances and so forth. But if a person's not willing to listen to what the scriptures say, it's very difficult to get anywhere with them. But don't give up. Try to point out the error of the way with a good attitude, not a I'm right and you're wrong attitude, but examining the scriptures whether these things are so. With the instrumental music, we are told that we are to sing praises to God and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. My singing may not be very good to your ears, but the melody is being made in my heart, not the blood pump. This thing only does what it's supposed to do. It pumps blood. But the heart the Bible speaks about is the mind. And there's where the melody is to be made. And I think you can point that out, because there's not a scripture in the entirety of the whole Bible that would approve instrumental music in the church from the first century on.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anyone else? Thank you for your kind attention this morning, and we'll move on with the service.